You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
This is One Heat Minute.
Drop of a hat, these guys were rock and roll.
What's your name?
Wayne Grove.
Look like gangbangers working the local 7-Eleven to you. Robbery, homicides, take me out.
Give me all you got! Give me all you got!
I do what I do best. I take scores. You do what you do best, trying to stop guys like me.
A podcast dedicated to all 170 minutes of Michael Mann's LA crime opus Heat, 1 minute at a time. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to One Heat Minute, and Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. It is 10:31 p.m. in Australia on Christmas Eve while I'm recording this, and I just couldn't be happier. It's a project that is getting infinitely more rewarding with every new show. Our first show on August 23rd, kind of conceived of in June this year. We are now up to episode 36 by the time you've listened to this. And in my wildest dreams, in less than 6 months, would I have asked you, could one be talking to people involved in my favorite film or sustain a podcast that's 36 episodes long about one film, about minutes in one film? I probably would have said no. But to say thank you for all of your support, and to genuinely say thank you to those people who have given up a stack of their time to be a part of this show, I have to put this episode up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play a little story. And the story is the legendary Joe Lynch, who you would have heard appear on this show, a podcaster, a filmmaker, made a ripper of a film this year called Mayhem, which is just a stack of fun. And anyone who works in a corporate environment, it's kind of like punching a punching bag and being able to sort of vicariously tear the entire corporate world down, but from your cinema seat. Joe was on the show way back in early November and October for a double episode bonanza, talking a couple of minutes of the show. And Joe is also a podcaster of the Movie Crypt podcast. Really great podcast if you get a chance to listen to it. They've recently, Adam and Joe, the two key guys, have recently done a 48-hour podcast for charity. I think it's the longest podcast, or continuous podcast ever. Amazing stuff. Anywho, Joe and I joined forces. He is a formidable Heat fan, one of the best I've ever met. And he says, as a part of our show, you know what? Pasquale Buber, the editor of Heat, just so happens to be a disciple of one George A. Romero, another filmmaker Joe is obsessed with. And he said, you know, I'm going to see if I can get in contact with him. So what you're going to hear is a snippet from the amazing Movie Crypt podcast, which I'm editing in here, and you'll have a link just to a few minutes of that podcast just to get some context. And then you're going to hear me talking to the editor of Heat, Pascal Buber. Thanks to Joe Lynch and thanks to this podcast. And really, thanks to you guys listening, because this has been an amazing experience. This has been an amazing part of this year. And for all the other sucky shit that went down in 2017, One Heat Minute has certainly been, for me as the host, one of the greatest endeavors that I've ever done, and just really the best movie campfire to get great people around to share their stories and to really share more broadly our love of cinema. It's been a joy. So to all of my co-hosts, to all of those people listening, and to all those people who supported the show in the background, thank you. This, you're about to hear a Twilight Zone surreal moment of the Movie Crypt podcast boys and Pascal Buber talking about coming on, him coming on One Heat Minute. And then you're going to hear a snippet of this Heat Geek's dreams coming true. Thank you for listening again. And prepare to hear my brain exploding. I hope you enjoy a few brain explosions yourself. And there's always another minute of One Heat Minute coming around the corner. Thanks for listening.
All right, so with that, let's get to our guest before Joe explodes. We're both excited, but even my excitement cannot match Joe's for this one. I mean, obviously, you know that Joe is probably the biggest fan of the movie Heat. It was one of our one of our Crypt picks 1 month, and you recently appeared on One Heat Minute.
Yes, this podcast that I'm obsessed with called
One Heat. What was that like when you got put on that podcast? Because you had only recently, to me at least, started telling me how you were obsessed with it and you couldn't stop listening to it.
Because it only started like 2 months ago, and by the first episode, so the show's called One Heat Minute, and what it does is Blake Howard, this journalist in Australia, writer and journalist, started breaking down and explicating and analyzing Michael Mann's Heat 1 minute at a time. And not surprising to me, but I think surprising to the pop culture zeitgeist, there's a lot to talk about in every minute of that movie. And I just became obsessed with that podcast because I'm so obsessed with the movie. And quickly, it's one of those things where it's like, I could go on there. Oh, man, like I could talk for fucking days on that movie. And I started tweeting about it, just about the show. And Blake asked me on. And we did it over Skype. And I mean, usually episodes run about 20 minutes.
Yours were 6 hours.
Mine was at least an hour each. But there's just so much to unload on that. And one of the things that I unloaded was my obsession with the editing in that movie and how a certain someone ended up being part of just like my memory, because I had a poster of Heat in my dorm room while I was in school. And I would wake up every morning and see this name. And the name always sounded, it was one of those names where you just go like, I know that guy. Like, but for me, for the longest time, it was one of the magicians behind the editing of Heat. So this was in like a 96. And around that time, like a little bit after, the Laserdisc for Dawn of the Dead came out. And, you know, again, Dawn of the Dead is the first movie I had ever seen. Don't judge my mom. Also one of like probably in my top five films of all time. I was obsessed with it, but I hadn't seen it in a little while because I was away at school. And then, I was also the only guy in school that had a Laserdisc player at the time. And the Elite, like six disc version of Dawn of the Dead came out. And once it came out, I started watching it incessantly. And then a name popped up in that movie as well. And I had one of those, like,
not as the editor though.
No, not as the editor, but as one of the bikers, you know, Tom Savini's like cohorts in Dawn of the Dead. And all of a sudden,
but then
my
it
world
all comes
collided.
Together.
My world fucking collided. That two of my favorite films of all time are co-joined. The glue that holds these two films together is our guest. And I have been waiting 22 years for this moment to happen.
Let's not forget, editor, on
as I eat this pizza?
Day of the Dead. Monkey Shines. I mean,
Creep Show. Striking Distance.
It's incredible. Please welcome Pasquale Bubba.
Yay!
Which I've also been saying your name wrong for the past 23 years. I'm so sorry. It was my fault.
But see, if I had just used my nickname, Pat Buba, your name, your eye probably would not have been attracted to
you. You probably would have been able to fit another credit in the credit block, too, because Pasquale takes a formidable amount of time. Is like, was Dove the other editor?
Dove,
was his
Dove
name
Hunting.
Was his name longer, and he just decided, fine, I'll go Dove when my real name is Dovetail.
His real name is Dove.
I am so thrilled that you're here.
Well, thank you.
Thank you
much.
For
I,
being here.
It all
kind of stemmed from. So I was doing the podcast. I was doing the One Heat Minute, and I just went
off
on a
diatribe.
By the way,
he has 162 episodes.
He's got it all set for the next couple years.
Yeah, he's made it. Yeah.
But what's great is that format sets it up where you can have other people come in. They've had other journalists, other writers. I was one of the fortunate first filmmakers to come in and really talk about the movie, both in a general sense but also in a micro sense, especially the 2 minutes that I did. I did the moment where Wayne Grow gets attacked by Neil and his guys, and you know, Danny opens up the trunk and the garbage bag is already in there, and then he disappears
into the wind.
He's like the coyote in Collateral.
I did that scene.
And boy oh boy, we could talk about that for fucking 2 hours. And then the next minute after, which is the moment where De Niro puts the gun down and looks all pensive, like into the ocean in Malibu, and then it like just stops when Val Kilmer and Ashley Judd kiss in the most uncomfortable looking kiss I've ever seen in a movie ever, because he's like all leaned over and shit. It looks almost like a little too dramatic. But we talked about both of those minutes for a good 45 minutes. And in that, I remember talking about you and your work, and you know, just in terms of like that movie specifically, how progressive that film is edited and how aggressive that movie is edited. For a major film, like, there's some serious Stan Brakhage. There's like some very experimental things going on in that film, both structurally and then on a smaller level, on just the way that you guys used, jump frames and speeding the film up in moments, like when Val Kilmer puts his mask on in the heist and stuff like that, which in other constructs I don't think would have worked. But the way that Mann starts the visual language and also the editing language of the movie right out of the gate, it's kind of all bets are off, and you guys can play in ways that I don't think most mainstream movies, especially a big Oscar bait type movie that came out in December '95, would have been able to get away with. And he did, you know. So your name came up, and that was the moment where I go, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna make a few phone calls and see what happens, because I knew that we would have plenty to talk about here. But you are going on the Booba tour now, and you're gonna have to be on his show too. Because
God, I hope I remember at the minute.
Gentlemen, welcome to One Heat Minute. I could not express to you in words how amazing this experience is for me, the person I'm about to talk to. In my wildest dreams starting this project, I never thought we would talk to key creative people who contributed to the movie. But today on One Heat Minute for episode 152, I'm talking to the editor, one of the editors, Mr. Pasquale Buba. Thank you, Joe Lynch. Pasquale Buba, welcome to One Heat Minute. It is an absolute honor and a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here, and I appreciate what you're doing, because, you know, I think it's a phenomenal, perhaps a little insane, but a phenomenal task that you set aside for yourself. And, you know, for an editor, taking each minute separately and analyzing it is, I did go back and listen to a couple of your episodes. And the depth of knowledge that you and your guests have about this film is just, it's insane. It's outstanding. And I will, for full disclosure, you know, this has been, it was 95.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. I went to the Academy screening of the film, which is the first time I had seen it in many, many years. But your knowledge of this film right now, you know, my memory banks, a lot of them are gone about this film. What happens is, when you finish a movie, you know everything about it. And then when you start a new film, you kind of just reformat your drives and start again from fresh.
Yes.
But one of the things that talking about this reminded me is that the assistants, we would hang around on when we had some downtime on the soundstage, and do trivia contests. and was like, what was the flight number of the Cessna? What cell block was breeding in? You know, and we'd go to these phenomenally intricate trivia questions. And because everybody had seen the film and screenings and mixing and cutting, we all actually did have answers for it.
Oh my God. That would be my favorite trivia night ever to be at. I'd probably lose with all those guys who'd seen it cut 1,000 times, but I'd be taking notes frantically with every answer.
But that was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Synapses were out. Everyone, you know.
Well, we are going to watch. So as I said, right from the top, Pascal Buber was on the Movie Crypt podcast doing a fantastic, almost career retrospective, bookending Heat, which is Joe Lynch's, one of Joe Lynch's favorite films, and Dawn of the Dead, and talking about his relationship with the horror master and just a key influencer of a stack of cinema, social horror, and just horror genre in general, George A. Romero. So in that episode, there was a brief fleeting moment where sort of Pascal reminisced about one particular minute that he loved because he cut it, and he talked about it being, when he actually cut it together, it was actually one of the first takes of this cut. So we're going to have a little listen to it right now. You guys are going to listen to a nice high def version. We're going to watch it again really briefly together. Pascal's watched it, and then we're going to come back and unpack it. And then beyond that, we're just going to gush with Pascal about his amazing work and talk about all the things that he can remember from Heat. So thank you so much. Have a listen, and here we go. Okay, I'll just get this right. That is a magnificent minute.
Yeah. The facial expressions, I mean, it's such a unforgiving shot in a lot of ways, you know, that of Al. I mean, there's no room for any error. That is full screen.
Yes.
And Dante's phenomenal. But the way that that scene is staged as to when somebody would walk past the frame and when people would look at each other, it was just, it's all between the two actors, who are very good friends. I mean, they're both from New York, and they worked together before. But when you see the little subtle things that, in that scene, Al takes chewing gum to an art form.
Yes.
If you just watch the way he chews, because he doesn't chew gum a lot of times. Sometimes he doesn't, but not as a habit. But in that, just the pacing of the chew and the looks of his eyes, and you can see every layer that's going on with him about when he gets the call on a phone and he puts it down, but then she, you know, the realization of coming to that line about, you know, you were right. All I am is what I've been going after. I'm no different than the people I'm chasing. And that realization is, you know, to be able to express that, it's something he knew, but Hannah verbalizes it there. And there's just so much. There's a little pause. I'm glad you showed it again, because it reminded me of this. Right before he says, "It's like you always said," and he looks away to the thing, and then he looks back at her, and he lowers his voice, and it's done in a whisper. You know, there's a great little thing at the end too, when he finally, when she releases him, and he goes, and as he gets up, she does a little wave with her hand, just, yeah. And then that look that he does when he looks back at her. There's a kind of shit-eating grin on his face, but because he knows he's released in a certain way, he can get back to what has been burning inside him. And then that run down the stairs, which is, you know, man descending stairs. Remember, we had to lower the production. We took out all the production audio in there in a Foley because he goes down the stairs so fast.
Yeah. I love what you talked about with Justine there. So with Diane Venora, she's such a striking, beautiful woman. And in so yeah. much of the movie, she's so, even in when they've had a big breakup moment where Ralph is at the house, she's still very,
Ralph.
Yeah. She's exceptionally put together. And in this moment, she's pure vulnerability. There's no makeup. Yeah. There's no artifice to her hair. And there is a sense that in this moment, and I love this about her performance, it's just this aching, I know that, and she knows she's right. And she says, "Is there any way we can work it out?" And I love that I look at her face and I think she knows what the answer needs to be. And that's what that great, you talk about that, just the beautiful action and reaction and that energy that's going back and forth between them, is that Vincent for a moment has to feign a pause. He's like, I know this is denial. This is a moment where I could say, yes, everything's going to work out. But it's like in that split second that you reference, I feel like a whole 10 years or 5 years or a year flashes through his head of what is this relationship going to be like? And then he has to, the gum is like him literally chewing on that information and coming to terms with it and looking at her and going, it's like he said, like, you know this. I don't even need to tell you this, but you know this. All I am is what I'm going after. And it's such a great scene. I love this is the frustration and the brilliance of this format is you take the Edie and Neil scene and there's none of the self-awareness. Like Neil's like, I want you to come with me. And she's like, yes, I will come with you. She agrees. And you immediately, you feel sick because you're like, this is not going to, something is not right. And in this moment, as sad as heartbreaking it is, I feel, you just go, yeah, that is, in this moment, he's actually made the right choice to kind of set her free because he knows what his destiny is.
Yeah. And this comes after the, when he rushes into the hospital and she witnesses, she's hurt. You know, he doesn't talk about what he does for a living.
No.
But she actually gets to witness it. He comes into that emergency room and takes complete command and control.
Yes.
The entire emergency room. And commanding this, I want this, and I need an incubator, you know. And she's there, and she's absorbing it. She's just aware of the fact that this guy does know, you know, there's something to him. He does know what he's doing. And this, of course, comes, I think, three scenes or so after the, I have to screw Ralph for closure scene, you know.
That is it, folks. The end of this teaser. I'm so sorry to cut it off right there. If I didn't mention it up front, I wasn't going to play that same minute that he was talking about because I wanted you to relish hearing Pasquale describe it. Thanks again for Garth Franklin for our web design, Paul Davies for our music, and go to oneheatminute.com for everything you need to know about the podcast. Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.